Blog Talk Radio.
Listening to the Pinckney and the Pinckney Show. I am the Reverend Edward Pinckney. I tell you, we are living in a time that people need to take a stand. People are dying left and right. Black folks, it's not safe to be in the city of Benton Harbor. Bodies are floating everywhere. Another body was found here in the city of Benton Harbor. And the last person to see this young man was also a police officer. So we all know that it would be no foul play when the report come in. This is the fifth body that has came up in the city of Benton Harbor. On New Year's Eve, a young man, Carrington Penny, was found dead in the snow. It just so happened that he was drinking, 18 years old, drinking over to this lady's house with her children, and she was giving out drinks. One of her children put a molly in his drink. He was found dead a couple of hours later. The police said no foul play. Now, you are going to have to tell me and explain that to me. How could it be possible for it to be no foul play if there was a molly found in his system? According to the emails, according to the text messages, according to Facebook that were given out, the young lady said one of the people inside the house slipped a molly into his drink. It just happened that they are friends with the police department, and the police department is claiming no foul play. What do we have to do to get justice in this world? It's just not a good thing to be black and living in this world today. We need your help. We want people to start calling the Benton Harbor Police Department to call Chief McGinnis and tell him we want a thorough and a complete investigation, not just of Carrington Penny, but we also want Eric McGinnis. We also want Timothy Allen, Bulldog, we call him, Mr. Flowers, Mr. Hirsch, William Edward Hirsch, and the list just goes on and on and on. But yet still, the people here, I fought them too. They don't stand up for anything here unless it's their family member. Then they want to fight. It's too late. It's too late. We got to pull this thing together. But here's the name I want everybody to call. He's the chief of police. This is his cell phone. The number is 269-208-3901. That's 269. Don't forget, 208-3901. Chief McGinnis, we want a complete and a thorough investigation. If nothing else, for Carrington Penny. We want to find out why he died, how he died, and make sure that we start holding these people accountable for their action. Until we do that, we're going to continue being the same way. On that note, I want to bring in my good friend from Ann Arbor. Are you there?
Yes, and I have a couple of things here from well, the latest news from website bhbanco.org, that's BH as in Benton Harbor, Banco, BANCO.org. We have two new items on here. One is another African-American male found dead in Benton Harbor, which you have basically just gone over, I believe. The more recent one is entitled, and this will be at the very top of the blog or the website, bhbanco.org, entitled, "The Tough Guys Strike Again in Benton Harbor." Yesterday was another bad day for Benton Harbor residents. And yes, this does refer to yesterday, meaning Saturday. Law enforcement took five $10 bags of marijuana from five houses. As per usual, these opportunities to imprison more Benton Harbor residents happened courtesy of Benton Harbor Police Department collaborating with the Berrien County Sheriff. The tough guys are at it again. And as per usual, the radio immediately began reporting it as some big deal drug bust. Keeps Benton Harbor residents in the state of fear. They would find a lot more street drugs in St. Joe That is St. Joseph, and that's a town right across the river. But U.S. Representative Fred Upton's town will continue to operate however it wants, without scrutiny of any kind. The Whirlpool heir and his surroundings are untouchable. He and his law enforcement tough guys will continue to ruin lives in Benton Harbor until people figure out a way to stop them. How do we show our playground bullies a humane way to behave in the world before they grow up and cause serious life tragedies? I guess another question could be, that's the end of that, but I guess another question could be, how do we figure out ways to get people in our county of Berrien to stop them?
Well, how do we figure out ways
to get the people? Yeah.
Absolutely, absolutely. It got to be, the people got to be involved. They know how these folks is. The folks here are too afraid to even go to the courthouse. They're so intimidated by these folks. But we have to stop them until we tell them it's time to make them put up or shut up, because we're going to stop them. We're going to stop all this killing. We're going to stop all this harassing. They will go out and investigate. We had a recall in for the mayor of this city. They're going to send the police out to investigate some signatures and won't send the police out to investigate a murder. They'll send 20 police officers to raid a house that's maybe selling marijuana or smoking marijuana, but yet they will not send the police out to investigate a murder. I mean, we're living in a time that people are going to have to step to the plate. I don't know what to tell them, but they better unite. We better learn to fight back. It's time that we fight back and make these people either put up or shut up. Wow. Do you have something else for me right fast?
Well, I guess there's the other article here, and I could read it. It's longer, though.
Well, you know what? I think you have done enough for me today, because we got a full house as usual, and I really appreciate you coming on, at least explaining to the people exactly what's going on here in the city of Benton Harbor. Who would
and
believe?
Hopefully people can go to the website, bhbanco.org, and they can read the second article, too. And further articles. You can research everything about Benton Harbor and St. Joseph, Michigan, right here on this website. Thank you very
Absolutely.
Much. Keep up the
but
good work.
I also want people to start calling the chief of police and demanding an investigation. And let me repeat that number. It's 269.
Yeah.
And I'm hoping that you make that call sometime tomorrow yourself. That's 269-208-3901. And if you will, put an email out asking people to call and demand an investigation. Don't ask for one. We're demanding. Because we're going to march on this police station.
I didn't quite understand the phone number. I'm sorry.
Okay, it's 269. Okay, 208.
Wait a minute. I'm sorry. 208?
No, yeah, 208. 3901.
3901. Okay, thank you very much.
And also tell them that you want that Wes Magowski to be removed from the police force. That's what we're shooting for. That's where we're going with this. But on that note, I got to move on. I have to bring in the one and only, the good guy who have gone bad from New York. And I know that most people don't understand who this man is. He's the man. He's the guy. He's my friend. Him and his wife, Lynn. Ralph Point, are you there?
Yes, I am, Reverend Pinckney, listening to every word and listening to Martin Luther King's speech, and it all ties together. And when he used the words, living every day under the threat of death. I think everybody remembered hearing it. Living every day under the threat of death. Not only he, but every person of color is living every day under the threat of death and terrorism under any other name is still terrorism. We've been terrorized for 300 years. And as I understand, you want to talk today to Lynn Stewart about something relating to this terror. And so please continue, Reverend Pinckney, so that we can continue this conversation and relate our condition to events of today. For example, stop and frisk in New York. This is more terror, racial profiling. But go ahead, Reverend Pinckney. Tell us, you know, what you would like to talk about.
Well, here's where I want to go. I want to talk to Lynn Stewart. I know that she just got released, and I know that her health is a problem. I don't want to hold her on too long because she is the biggest name that have ever been on my radio show. And anybody who is that big and willing to come on the Pinckney show, I have to take my hat off to them. And I tell you this much, we love Lynn very, very much, and we appreciate the work that she have done. I mean, she...
Let me tell you, Reverend,
yes.
It is my honor to be on your show, not the other way around.
Oh, no, Lynn, it's my pleasure just to have you home and to be on my show. This is a blessing to us, because I tell you, for all those years that we was praying for you and working hard to get you out of there, and here you are home, and I can't say anything, but I am just so happy, because all the work you have been doing for the last 30 years, and I mean, the work is so tremendous. I'm rapping myself. We know, we always talk about it, and I get a chance to read about you so much. And just to have you on my show, I tell you, it's an honor, a privilege, and a blessing. And I thank you so much, but I'm not going to hold you long. I want to get right into what I want to talk about. I want to talk about Larry Davis. Now, everybody understand that Larry Davis, he attempted to murder 9 New York police officers during the shootout, as well as the murder of 4 Bronx drug dealers. And you defended him. You went beyond the call of duty and got this man off. Talk to me. And you even had Ralph as your private investigator. I mean, Lynn, I mean, I'm just so excited to... Just talk to me about it. Just give me some information about Larry Davis himself and tell me how you handled the situation.
Okay, well, Larry, by the time I represented Larry, along with Bill Kunstler, he was already a legend in New York, because on a cold October night, 36 policemen came to his sister's apartment. They claimed to arrest him. We claimed later on they came to murder him. And in that date, when they showed up at his sister's apartment in the Bronx, they came in and fired a shot as he was retreating into the bedroom. And he responded to that shot with a volley of shots of his own. And in the course of dealing with his entire situation, for the shooting that you mentioned earlier, they claimed they had come to arrest him for the murder of the 4 drug dealers. We said there was no warrant, there was no indication that they had come for that reason. They wanted to put him in a position where he couldn't fight back on the attempted murder of himself by the police. Therefore, they first charged him with the murder of the 4 drug dealers, and they elected to try that case first. That was a ploy, because they thought they had a stronger case and that they could convict him on that and he would drop his fight against policemen. However, using teamwork and I can only say, raising the issue of why aren't they trying the police case first, since everybody in the city of New York was aware of the police case,
We used that with the jury on the murder of the four drug dealers, and that jury acquitted him across the boards. They decided he had been framed up on the murder of the drug dealers, and they acquitted him across the board. We then moved to this police attempted murder of, and it was six policemen, although there were 36 present. He shot six. Ralph is giving me tips here because, you know, my memory after all this chemo and all these years is not what it once was, but it's still pretty good.
Believe me, I understand. So it was 36 police officers that bust into the apartment, and they,
right,
they came with the intention to kill. It reminded me of Fred Hampton and Mark Clark, how the police came definitely to kill him.
You want to do this?
Yes. What had happened was when they came to kill him, they fired so...
No, don't. Let's go back
okay.
a little.
Let's go back.
I want to give a little background first, Reverend, because you have to understand that Larry was a Bronx Street kid. He was a member of a very large family and had been in trouble off and on for many, many years. And the police, we told the jury, and Larry had told us, had recruited him to resell the drugs that they seized off the street. In other words, if they busted a drug dealer, they would take the drugs, give them to Larry, and he would resell them and give them the proceeds. But Larry, by the age of about 19, he was tired of that. He didn't want to do it anymore. And he told them, I'm not going to do this anymore. Forget it. Cross me off your list. But, you know, they weren't willing to do that. He knew too much. And they threatened him outside the time when they came to kill him. One of the cops went to his mother to complain that he was not doing what he was supposed to do. And he said to his mother, this is Larry's mother, he said, if he keeps this up, we're going to put a bullet. And he pointed to the middle of his forehead. He said, we're going to put a bullet right here. Now, at this point, amazing, isn't it? Just amazing.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, almost unheard of.
Yes, and Mother Davis testified to this at trial. She made a terrific impression on this Bronx jury. She came in her Sunday go-to-meeting clothes with a hat and was the fine lady that she was. And when she said, and he pointed to his forehead right here. So that was the tableau that set up before that night in October. And we had some other things that were going for us. The police surgeon reported that many of the men on this so-called raid were inebriated. So we had the image of these white cops moving through the streets of the Bronx drunk, just like all those lynching parties down south. And we brought that contrast out. But Ralph was going to tell you about how we were able at trial to show that the police had fired the first shot, thereby establishing a defense of self-defense. Let me just give the phone to him.
Wow, that's tremendous, Lynn.
Yes, well, what had happened that night? You have these police officers coming to kill Larry Davis, and when they went into the house, he was sitting on the couch with his nephew, and when they banged on the door, and his sister answered the door, when he saw all of the cops out there, he ran down the hallway with his nephew and stuffed his nephew under the bed, and he, too, was under the bed. Now, in during the court, there was during the trial, one of the things I did was to check out the room, and there were as many holes
before
court. There were as many holes in those walls as if he had been in Vietnam or Korea or something. I couldn't count all of the bullet holes that were in the walls, in the bathtub, in the bedroom, and one bullet grazed his head and knocked him out. And after he was laying flat on the floor, and he told me he could hear them, he could see them, but he couldn't move. And he had a scar on the top of his head to prove it. And you could not believe that anybody could have existed after so many shots fired by the police. And when they came down the hall, he began to fire back. And when he did...
That's not what happened. Let's be very clear. As my friend Ralph Shulman would say, let's be very clear. You cannot establish a case of self-defense unless they, the aggressor, whether he's a cop or not a cop, moves on you first. And in this case, what we had in our favor was a bureau draw. And Ralph had gone in there as the investigator. After the police left, they didn't do any kind of a job. They were so scared, and they were scared from the day that this shootout took place, that when they went to the apartment, they didn't pick up all the ballistics evidence. They didn't take photographs of everything. But the one thing they did take a photograph of was a bureau drawer that was directly behind Larry Davis. And the angle of that showed that a slug from a shotgun had entered that bureau drawer. Now I'll give it back to Ralph.
All right.
When I did the investigation, I found that slug in the back of the bureau. And with the exit hole of the front of the bureau and the exit hole in the back of the bureau told us the direction of that projectile. And then Lynn Stewart came with the direction of that projectile and established that it was self-defense. And I'll hand it back to Lynn to show how she established such.
Very good.
We're talking about a long, narrow, dark hall in a tenement that Larry had run down into this bedroom. At the end of that hall was a bedroom, and as I said, it had a bureau. And we claimed that when he reached there, this rogue cop by the name, I think it was Sullivan, who had a shotgun, and there's a whole story behind that, but we don't need to go into that detail. It's just a part of the wonderful war story of this trial. But every cop that took the stand swore nobody had a shotgun. We knew somebody had a shotgun because we had evidence of the slug being fired, but we needed to show that Larry was telling the truth and had been fired as the first shot. So we had an expert, and that expert worked with Ralph on the angle that that slug had entered that back drawer. And this expert testified conclusively that it was fired with the cop halfway down the hall when he shot this projectile, which is, you know, a large caliber fitting in a shotgun. It's a slug, it's called. And the crucial question to this expert was, because the cop had maintained he only fired at Larry after Larry fired at him, and he was still all the way back at the in the living room, never came down the hall at all because he was afraid he would hit the child with his fire, which was a total lie. And this expert at any rate established that that particular projectile could not have been in the place it was unless this cop was in the living room standing on a ladder to get the elevation needed to create the angle that he had discovered, measured, and as I say, established that this was the gradation of that angle. Now, we were able to argue to the jury, no cop would run down a dark hallway in the Bronx where he knew the other person was already shooting because he would be killed. It was just incredible. He only ran down there because he thought he was going to do the killing. He was on the hunt. He was going to get this little N, and that was it. And that sold this Bronx jury and they acquitted Larry by reason of self-defense. Let me let Ralph add, because I know I've left out a lot.
No, let's be clear. It was the angle of the bullet hole from the front of the drawer to the back of the drawer that established where the policeman was when he fired that shot. And it fit. Larry's being knocked out by that shot and all of the other policemen firing. And then when Larry started to fire back, they couldn't believe anybody could live through that fuselage of bullets. And Lynn enraged the police when she said they went looking for little black Sambo and they found big black Rambo. And this is, you know, and this was the background, the backdrop of this wonderful case of self-defense, and it fits in with the police breaking into people's homes in Benton Harbor over a little bit of marijuana and then doing nothing else on the real cases. If we were fighting back, they wouldn't be breaking down doors so regularly and so rampantly to terrorize us on little or nothing in terms of crime.
I always want to sneak out, Reverend, and I've done it many, many times, that during the period in which the Black Panthers and the BLA operated, that's the Black Liberation Army, Ralph is remembering, just using, and he is reminding me, not just to use the initials, but during the time that they were active and operating and doing what they did to protect the community, which sometimes was making a police officer a target, there was such a decrease in the number of black teenagers, black youth shot on the streets that it was noticeable. And that was because they were deterred. The police were deterred by these young black militants armed and ready, that they were not out there doing their dirty work. By the time Larry Davis's case came up, it was rampant in New York, the killing of young people, the killing of an elderly grandmother who was mentally disturbed when she was shot by the police because they said she was going to go for a knife. I mean, it was just, there was so, and every time the police were acquitted by some judge somewhere. But we, when Larry Davis came up, and the exciting part of the case also was that Larry then escaped. He got out of the police. Once he fired back, those police ran like rabbits. And I don't want to denigrate rabbits because they're pretty nice little animals.
Absolutely. Lynn, I tell you, Lynn, hey, I am so excited to hear about Larry Davis and a lot of people who may not know Larry Davis, maybe he set the pattern. That was one of the greatest cases that I have read about all these years. And then I get a chance to talk to the great and the wonderful Lynn Stewart with Ralph Pointer. I tell you, I'm excited. But next week, I want to talk about Sammy. Yes, the case that you were involved with the ecstasy. And next week, I'm hoping that, you know, that you can give us a little bit more, and then we'll talk a little bit more. But look, you got about 2 minutes, you and Ralph together, to say whatever you want. Then I got to bring on my good friend from Chicago, Paul, and then we can move on. But you got 2 minutes, Lynn. Give me something good.
Okay, good. 2 minutes. First of all, they continued to try to put Larry in jail by trying him on a series of murder cases that they framed him up on. The last one he went down on and did go to jail, and then, interestingly enough, he was murdered in jail. The second thing, yes, indeed, you say, and how did that happen? He had been threatened with death many times while in jail, and this was the one that took. That was only a few years ago. Now, the importance of Larry Davis was, and as I said in my summation, instead of being the fourth page of the New York Daily News where it says, black teenager killed in the Bronx by the police in performance of their duties, instead it was the front page of the Daily News. It was Larry Davis escapes and is running from the Bronx to Manhattan, from Manhattan to the Bronx. That dude that elude, he was called. And he led them a merry chase for many days, finally surrendering to a very public media event, because he knew that they would try to kill him on any occasion they could. The other thing I want to say is there is a DVD floating around that you used to be able to buy at every black record store of an interview with Ralph and I about Larry Davis. It was made by Larry's niece and nephew, and it went far and wide, and it really spread the importance of this. But I can tell you that the mayor of New York said, I didn't think you could use self-defense against the police. So the mayor of New York was wrong.
Wow, absolutely, absolutely. Wow, that is one of the most famous cases that's been heard around the country. And I tell you, Lynn, you being the attorney and Ralph being the private investigator on that case, and I mean, it's just an honor and a privilege. I'm always thinking about you, even when I'm at home and stuff like that, and my wife and myself, we are talking about you, and, you know, we always got to talk about Ralph, but we talk about you, and I really appreciate you. I really do. But unfortunately, next week, if you feel like coming on, we got to talk about Sammy, was it Gravano?
Gravano.
Yes, we want to talk. I want to talk a little bit about him too, because that's a very interesting case also. But listen, Lynn, I got to move on. But Larry, Larry was someone. He was someone special, and I really appreciate you. You know, because I know there have been other Black Panther Party members that you have went out of your way to actually defend pro bono. I mean, you know, you weren't the type that, I mean, we need you here in Benton Harbor. We need you so bad. We'll fly you here. That's how bad we need you. But unfortunately, I want you to take care and stay on the list, because we got some pretty interesting people coming on.
Thank you, Reverend. We'll do that.
All right. Thank you so much. Absolutely, absolutely. That was my very good friend, Ralph Pointer and Lynn Stewart. And I tell you, everybody is going to be talking about Lynn Stewart and Ralph around the world, not just around the country. But on that note, I got to bring in my good friend from Chicago. Paul, are you there?
Yes, sir. Can you hear me?
How you doing today?
I'm good, brother. I was listening to the people that you had on the show, and I'm familiar with the case with the brother up in New York, and I'm very shocked about the murder with the brother that was that the young sister was talking about, that they found his body. First of all, let me say this here. We have a president, an African-American president, in power right now. And this week he's going to do an address to the State of the Union. And because we have, as a people, has not demanded anything from him. He has not given us anything. Now, before anybody that's listening to me get on the offensive by saying that he has to represent everybody, because they got all kind of Americans, white Americans, gay Americans, all kind of Americans. Well, I take offense to that, because that's a statement saying that we're not Americans. That we haven't fought in the wars in this country, that we don't vote, and most of all, that we don't pay taxes. There's a lot of us that feel that this man should not be held accountable to anything. Mm. So one thing black folks got to do, they've got to stop being what they call in politics, they call it premature. When you're young, you're just premature. It's not that you're foolish or ignorant. You're just premature politically. You're just premature, naive, politically naive. So This man's been in office for 6 years. Here in Chicago, murder capital of the world. more police than shot black men in the back in the city of Chicago while this president was a congressman and a state representative. And nothing was said. This
wow.
president must be held accountable right now. So what we're doing this Tuesday, the grassroots people of several different organizations on religious strife, we're not caught up on Democrat or Republican, we're not caught up on Hebrew, Judaism, Islam, nations, we're not caught up on none of it up here. Because when it's all said and done, we all get in the same hell right in Chicago. With all that, what we know, we still living in these hellish conditions underneath a tyrannical mayor. When I say a tyrannical mayor, a mayor that the president like to say he's his friend. If all of the community is saying, hey, man, this man just shut down only in the black neighborhoods 57 schools. Most of the people that you're seeing getting murdered in the city of Chicago, and I like to say this to that sister, too, Flint, Michigan, Ann Arbor, and Kalamazoo. Yes, they have a drug problem. But more than a drug problem, they have a narco-terrorist problem. With known narco-terrorists from south of the border have set up shop. And every time they raid a black house, they can't know it, that we've been surveilling and watching this house for 3 years. Well, you should have seen where I bought this stuff from then. You should have seen I bought it from these Mexicans. I bought the dope from these Mexicans that's bringing the dope in my neighborhood. Now they got all the businesses. They're taking the money and laundering it in the black neighborhood. This can't happen. So we got a problem with this immigration, this so-called common sense immigration. It ain't common sense, and then we ask that you don't do it until you deal with the narco-terrorists that's bringing all the dope and dumping it in the black neighborhood. And for some reason, there's no big Mexican buses. That's where the dope come from. Come from Europe. They come right there across south of the border. They got five major families that control the border. And all the drugs are brought straight to Chicago. Then they broke down and sent to the Midwest. It comes to Chicago first, then it goes to Gary, Indiana. Then it goes to Milwaukee. Then it goes to Detroit. Then it goes to Ohio. Chicago is the capital because Chicago is a sanctuary city. So if you're going to deal with your chief of the police, he got to know that. That means he's taking a bribe. So y'all going after him the wrong way. All them mollies in your neighborhood, those drugs are coming straight through the Mexican cartel. I said Mexican. I want you to know exactly who's bringing this in the black neighborhood. The Mexican cartel is hooked up with the Arab cartel. The Arab cartel brings heroin through Mexico. That's why you see all these white folks dying, or that good heroin is coming from Afghanistan. In the streets of Chicago, it's called it Bin Laden. That's what they call it in Chicago. Bin Laden.
Wow.
That's Bin Laden. These are known things in the city of Chicago, and we got a black president that has not resolved anything in our community.
Absolutely.
See, first of all, our leaders are turning a blind eye, but the people have to raise up against this atrocity in our community and demand a federal investigation of their chief of police. We want the chief of the police in that city, he got to be corrupt. All that dope coming through there. Don't keep blaming the little guy on the block that's selling $10 and $30. You done bust the house and it's got $80 worth of roof in it. Talking about we got a major bus.
Yep, absolutely.
Major bus. Got 8-9 black men coming out the building, chained up like slaves, talking about we got a major bus. But you ain't seen Mexico who bringing all that dope through from Chicago straight to your city. Handpicked. How do we get to your neighbor? How do they know to bring it to you? Because your leaders have agreed to blame the people. This is how this trick goes. I want everybody that's listening to me, I want you to know how you got dope in your neighborhood. You ain't got to guess. Today you can find out how it go down. They bring the dope straight across the border. They get permission to bring it straight here. And they've already been told, do not bring that crack cocaine in the white community. Because they don't allow it in their neighborhood. Black leadership, they tell them, turn your eye and blame the people. Same people that the black leadership bring no jobs back. When the black leadership go downtown to City Hall, when the black leadership leave and go to Michigan State City, to Michigan State, to the Capitol, they're supposed to bring home the bacon. When they bring the bacon home, they don't give it to you. So now the people is living in destitute. They're starving your community out. They're making sure that everybody gets some money but you. So the people are left to their own devices. So since they're left to their own devices, they bring narco-terrorists in to dump illegal drugs in your community. So now you ain't got to hate and blame your black kids. You ain't got to hate them now. Now you know where it's coming from.
Absolutely,
and directly from Chicago to your city.
Mm. Hey, Paul, I want to ask you one other thing before time. First of all, on Tuesday, how could people that's listening join and help the calls that we plan on doing on Tuesday? Is there something that you want to tell them about that? Is there something that you want them to do? Is there something you need them to do? We have one of the largest listening audience for internet radio probably in the country. And we got people here. If you need their help, tell them how they can help us get this thing going on Tuesday.
Tuesday, we're going to have a grassroots meeting. We're going to sit down and watch the president, which he's going to try to solve everybody's problem over in Africa, over in Syria, and he ain't solved the problem around his house. So we're going to sit there, we're going to listen quietly and patiently among our people, among the grassroots. We don't allow name brand or blue ribbon Negroes to come in our move. We don't allow them in our room. We don't allow the NWCP, Urban League. Or those named Negroes that y'all believe have been saving us. Where them Negroes have been saving us? Why are we so messed up now? But I ain't going to argue about that right now.
You'll come back and talk a little bit about that, won't you?
Yeah, I'll come back and get the Negroes later, because there's a difference between a Negro leader and a black leader that love God and his people. They're not the same. So I want to say that Tuesday, what we're going to do, we're going to call in on this show. And we want everybody to listen. And we're going to have different people who's going to respond to the president. Because we're saying that there's 120 cities nationwide. And in every city, it's the exact same problem. Black Uncle Toms have sold us out. Black leadership. They got the same groups hustling us, just hustling y'all. And Barack has been given the same, just like every other president and every other state representative, they have all been given the same hustling groups, which the NWCP is not a black organization, it's a white organization. The Urban League is not a black organization, it's a white organization. They've been giving white organizations the money and everything that got something to do with the black organizations, and they want to know, well, we just can't figure out why the black neighborhoods. Once you figure out to stop keeping your hand in our pocket, that's what you figure that out. We want everybody to listen only because we're going to respond, President say, and we don't want you to give. We want you to be just a villager. We want you to be just as determined to get this voice out that everybody listen to it. Because at the end of the day, Chicago is fitting to put together a grassroots summit. We ain't got to go to the White House. The White House is around the corner on 48th, right around our neighborhood, in the black neighborhood. Where I live in Chicago.
Absolutely. Paul, let me ask you this. What time do you want people to start tuning in to the show?
Well, we definitely want them to start tuning in around 8:30.
8:30 to 9 o'clock.
Okay. 8:30 to 9 o'clock.
Okay.
Right.
We'll be on the air from 8 to 9 on Tuesday. Well,
okay.
You know what?
Okay.
You're on standard time. We're an hour ahead of you here in Michigan. So
yeah,
we'll be meeting 7:30. Let's go 7:30 to 9 o'clock here in Michigan, and that'll be 8:30 to 9 o'clock your time.
Okay.
All right, so everybody listening, we will be on the air Tuesday from 7:30 to 9:30. On that note, Paul, I got to move on unless you and I talk soon.
Okay, I want to give them their email address.
All right, give them the email address and a phone number if they want to contact you.
Okay, the email address, if you have a radio station and you want for us to tap into yours too, also call, the email address is Paul McKinley for Congress at yahoo.com. I ran for Congress up here.
Okay, is there a number you want them, if they can reach you by phone or anything?
Yeah. Right, the phone number is 773-653-8683. And we want to make this a discussion, not that he just come out, we're going to free Syria. No, we need to free Chicago, where you live at. We need to free Flint, Kalamazoo, Ann Arbor. We need to free our people. So I don't want anybody to be offended, but this is us sinners. Everybody else can fight for everybody else. So don't come to me talking about what about everybody else. Let them speak for them. Share their thoughts at home.
Hey, you're right, Paul.
So my phone number is 773-653-8683. And with that, God bless you, and thank you very much.
Hey, Paul, let's talk soon, okay? And listen, you can hang on for a little while. I'm going to bring on Dr. Short shortly so you can at least hear what he has to say.
Okay, all right. Okay, go ahead.
All right, then. On that note, I'm going to bring on Ms. Tams. Ms. Tams, are you there?
Yes, I am.
How you doing today?
I'm hanging in there, still dealing with a lot of this people trying to back me down from bringing out, you know, what me and my children have gone through with my ex-husband, Dr. Tyne. And I'm just very grateful for your, you know, radio show, because I'm listening to people talk about the, you know, people in the positions of authority in Benton Harbor. And I was just really, it's really a blessing, because the way that my case was dealt with, now I have some, you know, reassurance, because that's the same way that they dealt with my case. And CPS had basically, I had to leave the home for my ex-husband, Dr. Tyne, sexually assaulting our children and poisoning me. Child Protective Services, and one in particular, Connie Weaver, she stated that they didn't want to deal with our case. And that was strange to me. And then the way that they so-called themselves investigating at the police department, they didn't. They documented lies. I still have the same police report in my hand from 2002. And I had found out, and that's what I was trying to tell the court in Wayne County when I had to come back to Detroit, that housed the Child Protective Services in Benton Harbor, Michigan, didn't do their job with our case. Actually, they told me to return to the home when I went to a safe house with all six of our kids. And they said, return to the home. And I said, for what? They said, well, we want him to currently rape the children. I called Lansing to report them. They put me on the central registry, and I'm still going through some people who claim to be activists telling me not to bring out totally what happened, some of the incidents. My ex-husband went in on deals with my family members, my brother and my dad, and I'm getting people telling me to back down because my brother's a Mason, and for some reason my ex-husband, Dr. Tynes, he does a lot of favors for Masons. And
you know that your husband was on our side. He was fighting with us at one time, but then he switched sides all of a sudden. Now he's with the enemy.
Well, I've known him ever since 1986 when we were at Wayne State Medical School.
Mm-hmm.
We were in the summer youth program because I was pre-med.
Mm-hmm.
Also, my ex-husband is very crafty and manipulative, and basically, he puts up a good front. The way that he treated our children, our animals, and me, he's a criminal. And he's not for anyone. He's for himself. to, you know, gratify himself with whatever he can. And a lot of people know this about him. But one thing that I had noticed that how Congressman Hanson Clark, I'm still trying to reach him, and I've been blocked from getting through mm-hmm. to him by his staff and his money. And
well,
by
you,
several
you know
other
that,
people.
Hanson Clark, is, I also know him quite well. Well, you can tell him that Reverend Pinckney, you're a friend of mine.
Well, see, they won't even let me get through to him because even when I had proof about Judge Virgil Smith obstructing justice with my case,
mm-hmm.
intimidating my kids and me to back down with bringing out the truth, his
mm-hmm.
staff keeps blocking me. And I had seen a video that he was out, was out on the news, I think at Channel 7, where he was stating that he asked the U.S. Attorney General, Eric Holden, to investigate Michigan Child Protective Services and Department of Human Services and the court practices in illegally taking children from their families. And that's letting you know there he knows that our own attorney general is not doing their job. And I've gone to all of them, you know, to try to get help, to try to look into why was I denied any type of assets or anything. Because, like I say, I'm living with, you know, people that are helping me along the way. And also because of my health issues that my ex-husband caused through poisoning me and more things he's done. So, I'm just really grateful for your show because now with everyone saying it's hard to believe that the authorities wouldn't do anything or wouldn't investigate, they didn't investigate my case. And several state troopers even admitted to that they didn't investigate my case. Benton Harbor, CPS, and police department just basically botched up my whole case. They didn't even care. And then when I came back to Detroit, the court system was biased against me, didn't want to look at any evidence, didn't want to listen to the kids because of Benton Harbor chose not to do their job in protecting my children or me. We didn't get equal protection under the law. So, it's just been a lot of people that have spoken up. Even what's strange is that state troopers that I've spoken to who clearly told me that Benton Harbor court system and police department system is very corrupt, and I had asked the state trooper how did he know, and he said he used to work for them. He said they love setting up people of color, you know, and I know it's true because my ex-husband cousin Steve had told me that he had told my ex-husband when we were married not to move us out there because of how unstable the place is, and my ex-husband, he laughed, and he had basically said, I'm moving out there for my own selfish reasons to try to create a negative image against me because they ended up taking our dogs away from us, saying that we had vicious killers and we didn't. And that was just a way of my ex-husband trying to get me something on me to, you know, to come against me in the court system to make me look like that I was the one that was unstable. But if the prosecutors and everyone, if they did their job, all they have to do is talk to some of his former nurses, patients, co-workers, who all have spoken up and stated he's sexually abusive. He's ex-military also. He's an overt control and very dangerous. And they don't want to do that. They just want to stop it at, you know, just stating that, well, we've handled the case. And then when I confront them with, well, you didn't even investigate anything. All the evidence, I have it. And that's when they start threatening me to back down. They, you know, let him get away with owing over $42,000 in child support. And I never got my court order spousal support that I was due. Mm. And like I had stated that something has to get done, you know, because I'm still dealing with trying to, you know, maneuver through what I'm going through and trying to help my children as long as they're under his control and influence, he's corrupting them. And
absolutely.
It's really sad how my kids are afraid to communicate. You know, I haven't even spoken to any of my children. That's not their behavior.
I know. Hey, you know, because I know your children quite well, most of them anyway. But listen, I tell you, we want you to know that we love you, and we're going to do whatever we can to help you, support you, get you a little justice, and let's see what happens. But listen, you definitely have an opportunity on my radio show to speak and to let people know because I think people need to know this. And we're supporting you, my wife, myself, and my friends all up in Detroit. You know, I got a large following up in Detroit, and they're going to support you too. I'm going to put things together, and do things. But listen, you got about 2 minutes to say whatever you want. Then I got to bring on my good friend, Dr. Short. Go ahead.
Hey. Well, like I said, I'm just really appreciative to your show because your show is really evidence. It really is on what's going on in our world and what's going on in St. Joseph, Benton Harbor, Michigan. And for anyone who states that it's hard to believe that the police won't follow through and deal with certain crimes, wow, the evidence is right there on your show with people speaking up about what's going on.
Absolutely, absolutely. Listen, I want to thank you so much, Ms. Times, and I want you to know that, you know, that we love you, and you can call us anytime you feel like talking, anytime you want to be on the radio show. You got it. You got it, you know, and we'll talk soon, okay?
All right.
All right, God bless you. Now, let's keep it moving. Dr.
Thank
Short, are you there?
Yes, Reverend Pinkney. I'm doing good. I need to run a couple of things down to you, then do something that will probably lighten the mood. But I wanted to mention to you, Reverend Pinkney, I'm coming your way. I'll be in Chicago and Detroit this month, February, and I'll need help to get there.
Okay.
It's tough on activists. So I'm trying to figure out if I can ask folks, please, you know, like,
Absolutely. If you want someone to send you a donation or something like that for all the hard work that you do, you have my permission to ask people to send you some money. Go right ahead.
Well, I am asking. I'm working with, as part of, I call myself the Washington Bureau of Banco, working with Sister Phile, the woman who coordinated the Million Woman March. We're going to be doing stuff in Chicago and in Detroit, and we need help. I want to go. They punish people who are outspoken, and so I need folks to back me. I'm not trying to fly first class, but I do want to go. We will be making a presence in Detroit because it looks as if we're going to have a mass gathering of African-American women dealing with human rights in the city of Detroit. So I'll be going out as part of a scouting team. Now, Reverend Pinkney, what should I do? I don't do a PayPal or anything like that. Should I give them an address?
Here's what you can do.
Okay.
Those of you who are out there,
yes,
you can send a check, money order, to Dr. Randy Short. And your address is what?
226.
Mm-hmm.
ASCOT, Ascot Place, Northeast, Washington, D.C., zip code 20002. It's 2 with 3 zeros and a 2.
Repeat that again, because you know how we are.
226.
No. Dr. Randy Short, address.
Dr. Randy Short, and my address is 226 Ascot Place, Northeast, Washington, D.C., 2002.
Absolutely.
Now,
and here's what
I'm
you
done
do.
With that. Now, let me help the people. This is the first time anyway, Reverend Pinkney, I want to let you know, and I want to say this while Lynn is listening, they found that there's something called cannabidinoids in marijuana that gets rid of aggressive cancers. I've got the link. I'll send it to Ralph. I just got the first email communication from him today. Number two, good news. Paul McKinley was here in D.C. with me. He met Dr. Alveda King. And what you need to know is Dr. King is now working with another brother that you met through me and Gary to collect attorneys because they're going to help people like Mother Dunning and the folks in Louisiana. I need people to send me their legal cases or their problems as we try to find attorneys to help folks who haven't gotten representation. You need to know that Mother Dunning, through our network, has someone that is working on her case, and progress will be made on that. We also need to remind people to remember to do what you can do to help Sister Maggie Rhodes. You and I were on the phone with her yesterday, and someone has stolen money out of her bank account. She couldn't even move into her own place.
Tell
her
who she is.
Maggie Rhodes is the mother of Ashton Rhodes, the boy who was castrated at Christ Community Health Services in Tennessee on August 14, 2013. She's working with two very sick children, single mother with three children. Other than that, Reverend Pinckney, I want to let you know that Brother Emmanuel Booz, who you met, and Gary, we're working together to create an organization that will be helping in terms of providing legal help to anybody we can. That's partially in memory of while she's living for Lynn Stewart. I could go further, but I thought just to change the mood to do my Barack Obama imitation because, you know, we have to talk about that fool.
Absolutely, absolutely. But listen,
I see you have Gwen and Ralph on your phone.
Hey, let me say this to you, Dr. Short. See, everybody may not have gotten that address, but you should come on every week. I'll give you time to request a donation from these folks because there's a lot of people listening. There's a lot of people with money. They, you know, you can send $10, you can send $20, you can send $30, you can send $100, you can send $1,000. But please send some money to Dr. Short. He's out there working. He's in the trenches. He need our help. So those of you out there, let's get him to the beautiful state of Michigan so he can see firsthand the police brutality here. Because believe me, when he drives through from Chicago to Detroit, they will be waiting on him. I don't wish that on nobody, Dr. Short, but I'm just saying I know they will.
Well,
but on that note,
I
Dr. Short.
Let me come with me. Well, let me just do this because we're going to be lied to on Tuesday. So
okay.
I want to give people a foretaste of the avaricious lies and silliness that we're going to get. Reverend Pinckney, I can see that you're contributing to the recidivism of Lynn Stewart. We let her out of jail, should have kept her, and now you've got her boasting about getting the cop killer off. And so you have Paul McKinley on your show.
Mm.
He treated me really bad when I was in Chicago. That's why I don't do anything for the city. I'm president for all the people, and that means I don't do anything for blacks. How's that different from any other president?
Mm.
So before you guys get together and get in the little black pity party, need to recognize Wall Street's my priority. They're the ones that pay. They're the ones that support campaigns, not you. And I want to thank all the suckers who are black who think I have it down.
Absolutely.
I'm going to use you. I want you to vote in the midterm. And guess what? I'm not going to do one thing for you in the second term, and you're going to love me.
Mm. That's whether basically whether what's
like going
it or on. Not, right?
Not thing?
Yeah.
Did I get
listen,
it down?
That was good. Hey, look, hey, Dr. Short, I got to move on. But listen, I want you to call this chief of police. I'm on the at that number I gave you and ask him. We'll talk after the show. I'll tell you exactly what I want you to tell him. Cause what we do,
oh,
what we're gonna do,
like
we're gonna do a phone blitz, and we're gonna demand some action. But I got to move on because I'm running out. My TI time is. You know, usually 6 o'clock, I'm past my TIs, and you know how they do. They might end up picking in my house if I don't hurry up and get them on. So you know how that
yeah,
works.
Well, bring them on.
Well, I
got to
bring on
my
buddy from Chicago
I'm
now.
I'm not going to stop my program.
All right, big guy. Hey, Dr. Short, we'll talk soon. All right, let me bring on my good friend, Yo. Yo from Chicago, is you there?
Yes, I am. Ed, how you doing, man?
I'm doing great, man. How about yourself?
I'm doing
you know, it's
fine.
Always
you know,
good to hear your voice, you know?
Yeah.
I always remember you sitting behind me and that voice. I can never forget that voice of yours, no matter how hard I try.
Right on.
You know how it goes. You know how it goes. And you told me that, see, people from our area of the west side of Chicago, now, you know, we have book writers, we have actors, we have movie stars, we have it all. Today we got you, Yo. Let's talk
exactly
a little bit
right.
about Chaps, because I got to talk about Chaps, and I really don't have a whole lot of time because I got to bring them TIs on, because if I don't bring them on, they're going to be picking in my house, so I got to bring them on. But
you know, right, okay, so what I'm going to do, man, you got a whole lot of people that listen to you, and you have a whole lot of people that depend on you to get the word out with their different problems.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so with all these people that have been calling you, You tell me, give me three things that you think the people need. Three things.
One thing, they need jobs.
Okay.
Or careers.
Okay.
That's right. Number two, we need to improve our school system.
Okay.
And we need to stop this police brutality. Those are three things that I'm three of my biggest concerns.
Okay. Now, all those concerns that you just said, CHAPS will resolve all of them.
Okay.
If you start CHAPS tomorrow,
uh-huh.
If you start CHAPS tomorrow and different pay systems,
uh-huh.
you will resolve jobs, career jobs, because
uh-huh.
CHAPS is a pay system that you have to work. You work 10 hours a week for this year's salary and 10 hours a week for next year's salary. So,
mm-hmm.
so it's self-maintained because it's a career job. And I'm talking about the United States Postal System. See, let me tell you something. United States Postal System use the argo. Argo is when you deceive somebody, just like in the movie.
Yeah.
And it's the United States government. And they use the United States government to do that. And so how they did it was they said they're losing money and all this and that. And they said they want to cut out Saturday and Sunday mail delivery. So once they said that, they got in the paper, and so the big businesses said, "No, man, we want at least our Saturday delivery. You're going nuts." And so then Congress stepped in, and they called in the Postmaster General. So the Postmaster General said, "I don't have enough money because these people got to be off 2 days a week, and so I don't have enough money. So I want to get some money from you guys to help me to pay overtime." So it's no such thing as overtime in a 8 hour work day.
Mm-hmm.
It's no such thing as overtime in 24 hours. Because once you pass 24 hours, you go into another day. So say for instance, Saturday, you stay 24 hours from 24 hours, and then you go into another day. Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, so on. So it's a 24/7 operation. Okay, the military, okay, and so how the problem is they do not know how to schedule a weekend off. So if you read my book, you know, if some guys were talking about that. You read my book and you have plenty of time, you have plenty of money, and for career employees, part-time a career and full-time career.
Mm.
And you would always so God said, Once he freed us, he said that he wanted us to work 1 week and be off 3 weeks within 1 week. And that's how you got to schedule it.
Uh-huh.
And you resolve that problem.
Let me ask you a question. How do you – tell me how you work 1 week and be off 3 weeks. Tell me about that.
Okay. First of all, at the post office – everybody got to get a bid, a full-time employee. He
mm-hmm.
has a bid, you know, a five-day bid, 8 hours a day. That's his work schedule. It starts with Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. That's a seven-day normal work week. And then on holiday work weeks, and so it's an eight-day work week on holidays. Post office has 10 paid holidays. It's different how they run some of the holidays because some of them they call, just like Martin Luther King, they call his holiday a non-major holiday. So in
mm-hmm.
other words, everybody don't be off. But all letter carriers be off, all the holidays. The letter carriers be off, but people still be working in the factories and behind the scene. The reason for that because you got to move the mail. See, you got to, what I used to work in was transportation. So you got to keep that mail running, rolling, rolling. So I'm going to bring up a point. United Parcel Service, they pride themselves on moving the packages, and FedEx. So guess what? This Christmas, they guaranteed packages being delivered. They couldn't do it. Reason why? The reason why? Because they do not work Saturday and Sunday.
They do not work on Saturday and Sunday.
No, they don't. And then plus, most of the people that get hired part-time.
Mm-hmm.
And so by them just hiring people part-time, people don't understand. You, in a pay system, is you have to work 1 week in order to get 10 hours of pay.
Mm-hmm.
And then But you go work 40 hours, 5 days.
Yeah.
So you gonna work 10 hours of pay for this year's salary, 10 hours of pay for next year's salary, 10 hours of pay for raises, you know, cost of living raises. If you work on Sunday, you get Sunday premium, and then 10 hours of pay for your health insurance and any other things, and plus your retirement. But you got to work for it. So in other words, when it boils down, in order to earn 1 week, you got to work 4 weeks, and then and then at the end of that week, and then they counted up 40 hours for your pay, 40 hours for next year's salary, 40 hours for all your benefits, and 40 hours for some more benefits. And speaking of benefits, you got bonus money in there. And that's what the post office takes from you. They steal your bonus money by confusing people, talking about it's overtime. It's no overtime.
Let me ask you a question. Basically, CHAPS is designed to hire more people and eliminate overtime. I'm correct in saying that?
You're exactly right. You're exactly right, because no overtime. You just work your
time.
Overtime.
Matter of fact, overtime is what's really caused a lot of unemployment.
You're exactly right. Then
right
they're in the lid. You know, because you can hire more people.
Absolutely.
They can sustain
themselves.
I see
where you're going with it, but listen, yo, I don't have any more time. But look, you got about 90 seconds to tell people how they get in touch with you. Then I got to go to my TIs. Go right ahead.
Okay. Some of the people that you know, especially some of the people in Washington D.C. I need to get CHAPS to Congress, because we got to debate this in Congress, and then I think if you get this to the president's desk, and I'm quite sure he will help us. He won't have another choice.
Okay, listen, tell them how they can get in touch with you, yo.
Okay, you can go to my website. My website is chapspaysystem.com. It's chapspaysystem.com. And you go on that, and you can order my book if you want to. You don't have to order my book. And then, but if you, just like this guy, your friend called Paul McKinley, he's here in Chicago. You can give my phone number, and so I would like to talk to him. If he gonna get somebody to go to Washington, and we're gonna get this thing resolved.
Way to go, Big Yo. I gotta let you go.
All right then. You
talk
take
to
care,
you soon,
brother.
Man. Love you, man.
I love you too. Bye bye.
All right, now it's my TI time. Those of you who talk about a TI, a target individual, someone being targeted by our government. Microwave, you name it. They've been doing it to my friends. These are my friends. There are over 1 million targeted. Let me correct that. There's over 3 million targeted individuals in this country and around the world. Yes, your government is targeting people. Yes, they are. They're messing with their lives. They're controlling the minds of so many people. But it's time that we step to the plate and say we have had enough. I got to bring in my good friend. My guy, the John Brown, Ken Rose, are you there?
Yes, I'm here, Reverend Pinkney. Thank you so much. Hey, is Randy still on the phone?
He's still on the line.
Tell him to give me a call if he needs a place to stay while he's here.
All right. So, got you covered.
Okay.
Yes.
Now, I want to talk about the people that's helping the government do this. You know, these people, they're helping target the average citizens that hadn't done anything wrong, and when this all comes down, they're going to wish that they're going to be crying to us about it. Oh, we got lied to. Well, we out here telling you, so you're not being lied to. Now you're being told the truth. So they need to stop what they're doing, and that includes even the police that are helping do this. They all need to stop and think about what they're doing. Now I'm going to tell you that I've been on the Pete Santelli radio show. And he said that he's getting big pushback. The people call him up, tell him, don't talk about the TIs, the target individuals. He said, when you people tell me that, you don't tell me what to think about. I'm going to tell you that when you tell me that, I want to dig deeper to find out what you're trying to get me not to know. So I don't know how much pushback you're getting, if you're getting any at all. But he says that right now there are people calling him up telling him he shouldn't be talking about us. What are they trying to hide? You know, Obama said, if you got a secret, then you got something to hide. Well, what the hell are they hiding up there in Washington? Because they got more secrets under the National Security Act than unbelievable is what they're doing. And the guy from CHOP saying, if you get that in Obama's hand, he'll do something for you. Well, I think he's dead wrong there. I went to put in Ron Paul's hands, and he was a congressman. He didn't do nothing for us, and he's white, and I'm white. And I don't think Obama's going to do anything for black people or white people. He's working for the New World Order, and I forget the guy's name, but he should. I think he's expecting too much out of Obama myself. And if you'd gave
him
George Bush,
I agree with you 100%.
And I guarantee if you'd put it in George Bush's hands, he'd had you assassinated. So there you go.
absolutely, Ken. Absolutely, but Ken, I tell you, this TI, these targeted individuals, this thing is really, I think it's moving on a level that I anticipated it would move this way, but I'm telling you, people are talking about it. See, I don't get a kickback or pushback like I used to. Remember when we first started talking about the TI last year, and you know, people was calling and talking about my credibility is sinking, you know, and all this. And I said, well, I just want the truth to get out. That's all I care about. If that means that my credibility has to go down, it's down. Well, how low can my credibility get anyway? It's about as low as it can get right now with these folks. So, you know, but I'm sticking with my TIs. I tell you, you know, and I have five different sets of TIs that I deal with, Ken. Five.
Right.
Yeah,
well, you know,
and I tell you, this thing is almost maddening. Some of the stuff that, you know, that I hear stuff that's so, I mean, nobody would believe this stuff, you know, but I know it's happening because I have been dealing with this stuff long enough to know that our government is capable of doing anything. I wouldn't put nothing past this government.
Oh, exactly. And, you know, Deborah Treveyas, she's got stopthecrime.net. Or .com, stopthecrime.com. If people go there and look at what she's got up on her website, they'd be opening their eyes because we're in dire straits here. Everybody says we're at the edge of the cliff. No, we're already over the cliff and we're hanging by one little thread. And if we don't get things together pretty quick, we're going to fall to the bottom. And then you can everybody's idea of what we're going to get our retirement, it's all going to be gone. It don't matter if you work for the government, who you work for. All these people working for the government think that they're doing the right thing. They're doing something good for the country. They better rethink that because this government doesn't care about anybody unless you're the 130th on the very top.
Absolutely.
I'll tell you that.
Right on point, Ken Rose. You know, and I got a lot of love and respect for you because I know that, you know, you're a man of your word, you know, and there's very, very few people like that in this whole country who actually stands behind that you can stand behind their word, and I do stand behind your word. If you say it, I'm going to listen, and I'm going to deal with it, Ken, and that's, you know, that's my pledge to you also.
And I will try. Right now I'm pretty broke, but I'll help Randy out on, you know, a donation, but if he needs a place to stay, he can stay here, and I'm real close to Detroit, so
okay,
give me a call.
That would be wonderful, Ken. You know, let's get him moving. He's a real soldier. And let's keep it moving. You know, when we was in Baltimore, you and Dr. Shore hooked up, and which was a amazing grace. But listen, you got about 90 seconds to say whatever you want. I got to bring on Sahara, and say whatever your heart desire.
Okay, on May the 16th this year, if people don't think things are in dire straits, we got a colonel and a general calling for 33 million people to be in Washington. I will be there, and I hope Randy will meet me there. People don't think we're in dire straits. Why are you thinking people are asking 33 million to show up at the White House for? And they said if we get 33 million, that they'll walk in there and we'll put them under arrest. These people need to start going. If they don't start going to jail, we're going to see more and more corruption down on our streets. It ain't just Benton Harbor. It's every major city, any city you go into. Big oil, you're seeing You see,
I agree with that 100%. Ken, I'm gonna give you that the chief of police's real number. Now I want you to call him. I'm gonna give you his number so you can call him. I tell you what you need to ask him, and we'll get a chance to talk soon. But I got to bring on Sahara. Ken, let's
okay.
talk soon, okay?
Okay, I got the number wrote down. I'll call you and find out what you want me to say.
All right, real good. All right, take care now.
Thank
you. All right, Sahara, are you there?
I'm here, Reverend Pinkney.
How you doing today?
Oh, I'm not good. Long story short, since the last time I was here last month, every single day starting in the 5 o'clock hour through the 5 o'clock hour in the afternoon, supposed duck hunters have been right outside our house shooting continually, gunshots, and one shooter 1 year even shot the air conditioner on the side attached to our house. So, but at least today's supposed to be the last day they're allowed to do that until September.
You sure you don't want me to come out there and talk to that duck hunter?
Several duck hunters, and I think it's probably safer if you don't. But thank you so much, Reverend Pinkney. God bless
you. Look, I wear 2 guns. I don't wear one. In case I run out of bullets. But listen, you go right into it. We kind of short of time, but your message is going to be perfect. Go right ahead.
Okay. Hello, this is Sahar Shinier, founding spokesperson of Stop Non-Consensual Experiments on All World Citizens. Snowy Oak is the acronym. Snowy Oak community updates are most frequently posted to facebook.com/SNOEOAWC. Today is January 26, 2014, 51 years after Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.'s I Have a Dream speech of 1963, from which his voice can still be heard saying, "From every mountainside, let freedom ring." This coming week may be an opportunity for our global community concerns to be presented peacefully for consideration for official and better address with public participation from this year forward. From an official WhiteHouse.gov blog entry of yesterday, January 25th, 2014, reads the following information with an invitation for questions from the public. Quote, on Tuesday, January 28th at 9 p.m. Eastern Time, President Obama will deliver his annual State of the Union address to the nation. We will live stream an enhanced version of the speech featuring graphics, data, and stats that highlight the issues the president will lay out for the upcoming year. You can also watch that broadcast on Facebook, YouTube, and our Google Plus page. But the speech is just the beginning. Immediately following the address, we'll stream a live, open for questions event from the White House on whitehouse.gov/SOTU. Editors note that is the abbreviation for State of the Union. Therefore, again, the webpage shall be whitehouse.gov/SOTU. You'll have the chance to ask your questions and hear from a pane. Editors note from context, I'm fairly certain they meant to type panel of senior White House advisors. You can post questions now and during the speech on Twitter, Vine, Instagram, Google+, and Facebook using the hashtag symbol SOTU chat. Editors note there are no spaces. Therefore, to read that once more, the hashtag appears as the following string of characters. Hashtag symbol, which looks like the pound sign on a telephone dial pad, SOTUCHAT. We'll also answer questions from an in-person audience of White House social participants. End quote. A list of panel participants along with related links are at the official White House January 25th, 2014 blog entry titled 2014 State of the Union Open for Questions that is available at whitehouse.gov. I recommend keeping questions brief, diplomatic, and direct. For example, would this administration please be sure to officially address widespread concerns that non-consensual human experimentation, especially as relates to coercive control, including what has been referred to as mind control, brainwashing, and programming, is being used to facilitate human trafficking internationally as well as domestic. Many around the world have serious concerns and reports about this. Thank you for your time and prayers for a safe and peaceful 2014 and beyond. I do look forward to speaking here next on the last Sunday of February.
Very, very good. Appreciate that. Listen, I want you to make sure you write that number down. I want you to call the Benton Harbor Police and ask for an investigation. I'll tell you what to say. But I've got to move on. The time is short. I've got to bring on Gloria now. But listen, call me after the show so I can tell you exactly what I want you to do, okay?
Okay, I'll call you, Reverend Pinkney. Thank you.
All right, now. Gloria, are you there?
Yes, I am, Reverend Pinkney.
How you doing
and
today?
I'm here. I'm great. I'm really good, and I'm here with a story that everyone needs to listen to and then go and look it up, because when you go to look this up, there'll be other stories to read. But I just got the main points of it, and there's other videos on this website, and it's Geoengineering, Fukushima Radiation, and the Transhumanist Agenda. Geoengineering is the use of environmental warfare, technically, principally the HAARP, chemtrails, weapons of mass destruction, to terraform Earth, implement the Transhumanist Agenda. The Transhumanist Agenda uses the technology of geoengineering and nano-neuroengineering, HAARP, chemtrails, nanobots, nano-implants, supergrids, and supercomputers to infiltrate and transform humanity into a robotic species under the manipulation of planetary controllers and artificial intelligence, cut off from higher dimensional communication in the multiverse. The EU panel, Human Robotization, Nano Implant Technologies, Mind Control Slavery, Neurological Weapons, Torture, Gang Stalking, The Transhumanist Agenda. Fukushima Radiation, a component of a global radiation war that combines geoengineering and the transhumanist agenda carried out through international ionizing radiation of the ecology and the biosphere, including oceans, the ground level, and the atmosphere air column. The purpose of the radiation war is to create long-term irreversible mutations in humanity and in all of flora and fauna on Earth, and to render Earth inhabitable for Homo sapiens. In a furtherance of transhumanist agenda, in the shorter term, radiation facilities, the neurorobotization of humanity under the transhumanist agenda. And what they have done, Reverend Pinkney, is GE has made these containers, these radiation towers and whatnot, and they already said they were no good. Three gentlemen had said, these aren't going to work. There's problems here. It's called the Mark One. And they refused to listen. The government refused. Everyone refused to listen. These three gentlemen quit GE. So in essence, the bottom line, we are all targeted individuals. Thank you for listening.
Wow, thank you so much, Gloria. Gloria, listen, I want you to make that call to the chief of police for me, too. Did you write that number down?
Yes, I have the number down, and I'm a good caller because I called Eric Holder's office twice a week when Lynn Stewart was in prison, and
mm-hmm.
when she got out, I called him and thanked him for releasing her.
Very, very good. You know that we had a lot of people calling in reference to Lynn Stewart, which is so beautiful. I love to see people out here working. Now we got to get these other TIs moving, make sure everybody is doing something. Gloria, thank you so much. Call me after the show so I can tell you exactly what I want you to say, okay?
Yes, sir.
All right, then. Now we got to bring on my good friend, I forgot her name.
Dorothy.
Dorothy, right, right. Maybe it's the microwave playing with my brain. I forgot your name, Dorothy, of all the people in the world.
I'll tell you what.
Take me out of your wheel. That's how you do that.
Okay.
All right, Dorothy, how you doing?
I'm good. Let's get in it since we know your time is short.
Yes.
Everybody probably knows the issue with Duck Dynasty, where the father made some inappropriate comments, but what most people may not be aware of is while that was all going in the foreground, behind it, the National Defense Authorization Act was reallowed. Now, that's the one where good and decent Americans who voice their opinion on policy and dissent of inappropriate policies or policies that are criminally brutalizing others can, in fact, pick people up and put them in prison without representation and for a long period of time or even indefinitely. So that's what was going on. In addition, MSNBC, now mind you, MSNBC is supposed to appear to be at least a middle-of-the-road or liberal kind of TV station. But what they had is they had Congresswoman Harmon, who was talking about the government task force that is recommending that the NSA stop phone call recordings, stop data collection. It said even in a ticker just underneath it that it was highly illegal and that there are five members of Congress on this task force that are calling for the stopping of the NSA collecting people's phone conversations. Now, she was actually cut off in the middle of it to bring up information that Justin Bieber had been arrested on DUI charges. Now, if you go out to YouTube videos and you put in MSNBC Congresswoman interrupted for Justin Bieber arrest, when you begin to click on it to listen to this whole situation, the YouTube videos go blank. It's literally what they call a kill switch so that no one can actually see this information that is playing. So we are now witnessing censorship through a kill switch, which should be our right to hear what is going on. Another YouTube video that I'm going to impress upon your audience to listen is Mark Passio, P-A-S-S-I-O. Any one of the numerous ones that he's talking about is great. Learn about Illuminati, the incredible interview, Cosmic Abandonment. He actually was a member, according to himself, but in listening to his evidence and the facts that he talks about, from what I know of these systems and what I've been through in my lifetime, his information is amazingly accurate and articulate and very timely in understanding who and what these people and how they're abusing people. Now, I'm going to also shift a little bit and say I've been doing more investigation and more looking into historically what has been going on in our country. And please know I'm not taking away from any good and decent people that I'm going to make reference to. But what I found is that when John Kennedy had actually said he would not bring his Catholicism into the presidency because many people in this country thought that he was going to make them Catholics, the Catholic Church got very upset. Now, please know back in those days, even that election was already bought and paid for. They knew that Kennedy was going to become the president. Once he was in office, he would actually begin to expose the subversion of our country. He was bringing home 1,000 military members from Vietnam a month. He was not escalating, but de-escalating. And he was on the verge of moving forward the Civil Rights Bill, a bill to become law. And when you have laws, he was willing to see about equality for all minorities. Now, at that time, that meant legal minorities, which meant both minorities of color, but women and children in this country as well. So when he was killed, so everybody also thought, or the criminals in power, thought he was soft on communism. He had also fired Dulles as the CIA director. Now, Dulles would actually go on to be the spokesperson for the Warren Commission after he had been fired. And what I have discovered in my own investigation and correlating a whole bunch of information is that any American that was, and you have to remember that J. Edgar Hoover was picking people's names and numbers and paying attention to children or anybody who appeared to be not following whatever it was, some pie-in-the-sky mores. So any parents or any folks who were raising children who were not prejudiced, who were not racist, who were not willing to simply look the other way as good and decent people were being brutalized, often their children were subject to being sacrificed, and I mean that in both literal and figurative ways, in which that's why the Catholic Church was allowing for a lot of its children to be raped and brutalized. Now, this would go on in which these children, and in 1985, children who were not going along with the evangelical community were also set in motion this kind of abuse. Physical, sexual, and psychological abuse, according to the Hitler-Himmler-Eichmann study. And what this meant was the long-term manipulation and abuse of these targeted children throughout their life to be used by multiple people, including local, federal government, then to use their lives, sex slaves, you name it, to harm other people, and then to throw them away. And there is no place in this country, no place that I have found, that specifically for children who were sexualized and put into sexual slavery in our federal government, for the U.S. military or other agencies to be abused by military that had come back from the military, were still in the military from the Vietnam War, there is no place that you can find help, and every one of the laws and or current organizations being stood up for task forces against sexual slavery and trafficking are sham organizations that while there may be good and decent people there, the monies that are setting them up are from taxpayers, and it's nothing more than a sham because I have attempted to call every one of them, and there is no place in this country where any of the victims of sexual slavery who are in 50s, 60s, or older can even find safety, have a voice, get a group meeting, or anything else. It is being shut down because this is the new entrepreneurial business in America. This is what they're doing to good and decent men and women and children. And both the Catholic Church and the mental health facility folks are involved in trying to normalize pedophilia, that is sex from adult to children, through the DSM-5, which is the Bible of the mental health providers. And they're saying the victims are mentally ill rather than looking in a mirror and saying they're criminally twisted. Thank you for listening.
Listen, I want to thank you so much, Dorothy, but listen, I want everybody out there to call. I want 1,000 people at least to call Benton Harbor Chief of Police for me at 269-208-3901. I think that is the correct number. And I want you to tell them that we want a complete and thorough investigation of the Carrington Penny death or murder. And also that Wes Smigowski, let me spell his name, S-M-I-G-I-E-L-S-K-I. We want him terminated from the police force of the Benton Harbor City. So remember that. Write it down. We want you to investigate the murder of Carrington, K-A-R-R-I-N-G-T-O-N, Penny, P-E-N-N-Y. And we also want Detective Wes Smigowski, SMIGIELSKI removed from the police force. The number is 269-208-3901. Call him. Yes, yes.
May I suggest possibly requesting a special prosecutor or investigator?
Well, we're doing that too. This is the first step. Okay. Let's do it this way, then we'll move on. But absolutely, I want everybody to call the chief of police because it starts here with him right here. But we'll do that next week. We'll call the prosecutor. We'll deal with it on that level. Because I want to give somebody too much to do at one time, because if you give them too much, they won't do anything. So we got to move on. On that note, don't forget to call. Everybody. Edward, are you there?
Yes.
How you doing today? I know it's been a long show, but it's been a long show, but a good show, and I'm really proud of everybody with all the information that's been given out today. I am truly, truly happy. I tell you, but Edward, go right ahead. You know time is short. Let's do what we can.
Well, the corruption is beyond horrendous. It isn't stopping short on any particular group. It's just seriously corrupt everything. They're spraying us with chemtrails. Have you noticed in where you live, or has anybody noticed all the long trails coming out of the airplanes? And no matter how much they're told, they won't stop it. That's how they're using the heavy metals that come out of the airplanes, the strontium, barium, and aluminum, that people are breathing in. The rates of cancer are soaring in areas that are getting heavy doses of it. And they're controlling the weather. They're using these heavy metals in man-made clouds that are made from rocket engines on the ground. And then they used the Doppler that they told everybody was a way of predicting the weather easier. Well, the Doppler actually uses frequency to control the heavy metals in the clouds so they can create tornadoes, create hurricanes, create storms or droughts, anything they choose. They call the shots. I didn't know this until I studied it for so long, that they create every kind of weather in this country. And they're not allowed to do it in other countries. But when you spray that stuff, it goes over the boundaries of other countries as well. And it's going into many other countries. China's also now manipulating the weather pretty horrendous. There's no such thing as natural weather in the country. It's all artificial. That being said, between the toxins coming down on us and the genetically modified foods, or if you call them foods in the stupid market, I've been calling it a stupid market since I'm a child, why would you want 20 brands of corn on a shelf taking up rental space in a store? Is the way I looked at it as a child. And most of those foods, people don't read the labels. They don't bother. You know, hydrolyzed oils, canola. Did anybody ever see a canola anywhere? I want one person to come to me that found a canola growing anywhere, but they want to use canola oil in their foods. They want to use soybean oil, which is 95% genetically modified, to fry their foods. They want to use all these different oils. Well, you know, you could take your vegetables, and you don't really need even coconut oil is good for you. You can fry them in some coconut oil. But you don't need oil. You can just put a little water in there and quickly glaze your vegetables and make them your main staple in your diet. I've been helping people to reverse dysfunctional health. That means every type of serious health issues, I've been helping them to reverse them for many years. This is something that people do have control of. You know, when you listen to the show, sometimes it's like, oh, man, that's why you want people to call up specifically Benton Harbor to the police captain. And if he doesn't do anything, you just write up an affidavit and hand it to the grand jury, bypass the district attorney altogether. You can wait until they come out of their meeting the grand jury. And
we don't have grand jury here. The person that do the prosecuting is the prosecutor here. We don't have a grand jury.
They always use the prosecutor. There has to be a grand jury, or you go to the state grand jury and mm-hmm. you prosecute it to the state. If you don't get any results through the police captain, you go to the state grand jury and hand in the indictment to the state, and that'll take care of the small little town. It's above them, okay? And you have the right to hand it directly to the grand jury. As a matter of fact, if you hand a criminal affidavit to a judge in a civil case, it changes the whole civil case to a criminal case. And if the judge says he's going to hand it to the district attorney or the city attorney, you tell him that's not acceptable, judge. I want this to go directly to the grand jury. And if he doesn't play ball with you, you can issue documents, a W-9 from the IRS to him. He's not going to like giving you his personal tax information that you can lean him up and lean his bond up with. So if he doesn't give it to you, you can 3949A him with the IRS, and you can get it from the IRS and lean up his bond and stop him from practicing. And if he gives you a hard time, we'll take it a little bit further, okay? I can advise you even more. Basically, what people do have control over, though, is what goes in and out of the temple, the mouth. What you put in your mouth, you have control over. So why are people just consuming all that garbage in the stupid markets without reading labels? They have no idea what they're doing to their lives. And that's why people have so many illnesses and are using pharmaceuticals, which, by the way, they're the largest, most powerful companies on the face of the earth. The government is invested financially in all of the large corporations in this country. They own over 72% average, all told, of all the corporations, with over $110 trillion. If you want to start with something, start by learning something about your health and take back control of your health. As long as you rely on the AMA, some people call it the American Medical Association, others call it the American Moron Association or the American Murder Association in Chicago. Doc Mike does his radio show for many years. And basically you're talking about these people do not care about anything except what they were taught, the doctors, which is cut and poison, and they are hookers for the pimps that own the pharmaceutical companies. And if you want to see the tricks, just look in the mirror. You go to your doctor, the only thing he's going to do is issue you a prescription or cut you. If you react to the prescription negatively, he'll issue you another one. He doesn't know anything else, and that's why they have the highest rate of suicides amongst all of the professions in this country. I found some things about 12 years ago that reverse all dysfunctional health. And here's the key. Number one, pull out all the toxins out of your body, all positive ionic matter with a magnet that pulls out poisons, toxins, unwanted bacteria, viruses, heavy metals, and radiation. Okay, calcium bentonite clay comes from a subterranean mine, 43 million years old, and it never needs to be purified from this one particular source. And I've helped people for many years now reverse every type of skin disease and internal disease. I take dogs that are lying on the floor with tumors loaded in their bodies and can't even get up, and watch how they reverse everything, even to the point where they become young like little puppies again. And when my son's mother took the puppy to the vet, and the vet says, I've never seen a case like this in all the years I've been practicing. Are you doing anything? Well, she said, what's that? Well, this dog has no parasites in it. Oh, she said, yeah, my Pomeranians were old and lethargic. And I gave them some of the calcium bentonite clay, and it made them young, dancing on their hind legs again like little puppies from then on in. So I give it to the puppy, too. He said, well, that's very strange that you've never seen a case like this. Well, it does it for humans also. And I found magnesium with ozone. And it's a bonded, they murdered the man the same year my mother drew her last breath in 1967, Dr. Blass, for developing ozone bonded to minerals, because it reverses all dis-ease in the body, dis-ease, lack of ease, stress, or tension on the body caused by positive ionic matter that's blocking the natural healing process of the body. When you pull out the poisons, toxins, heavy metals, unwanted bacteria, viruses, and radiation, when you pull it all out of the body, well, then the natural healing process can take effect. If you reoxygenate the body, which is what ozone is, it's live oxygen, and it changes the hydrogen peroxide in the body, which is what your good bacteria puts out as a defense mechanism. It's called your immune system. Well, most people's immune system is destroyed by the antibiotics they're eating in meat, chicken, which is loaded with it. The fish is poisonous. Everybody should cut down on the amounts of meat, chicken, and fish, literally, to the point where they can cut it out of their diet. If they really knew the truth, and I've been reading a new book that just came to market, A Sane Diet in an Insane World, and it absolutely describes why, what, how, everything about it. Gives you the information that you can actually understand why and what you should be eating, why you shouldn't eat many of the foods that are in the marketplace right now. When you take and add nutrition, oxygen, the oxygen coming from the magnesium ozone, in oxygen-rich areas in the United States, everyone is living 20 years longer than in all of the deoxygenated areas, all the cities.
Listen, you got about 30 seconds to say something. I got to bring on my last guest. So
give me a call if you need something to do with your health, and I'll have you look over information. I'll explain to you. My number is 818-613-9206. 818-613-9206. And thank you, Dr.
All right, Edward, thank you so much. And I repeat that, 818-613-9206. Thank you so much, Edward. And we'll talk soon.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Roz, are you there?
I'm here, and I'm blessed to be here. And I have put on the full armor of God, and I'm going out to win this with the Lord. We
Amen.
Cannot have our schools destroying the education of our children. We cannot have schools paying to kill off our teacher and put them in teacher jails on trumped-up charges just because they're older. We all have to get together, and we have to stand together, and like you say, we have to call. We have to unite. We have to get the stories on YouTube. We have to get petitions made, and we have to be out there protesting and speaking positive that we know that we're going to win in victory with God at the helm. So I'm going to ask, yes?
Go ahead, Roz.
I'm going to ask today that you call Ms. Dawn Watkins in Los Angeles Unified School District. She is the Director of Integrated Disability Management. 213-219-4525. 213-219-4525. Remember
All right.
that Charles Smith is dead. They have paid off doctors to write bogus reports, 16,700 in my case, Dr. Stahlberg. They pay off outside doctors to misrepresent the facts constantly. Obviously, something's happening with the judges because you cannot get a fair and just trial or decision. And
you know what, Roz, they're just doing their job. I need you to do me a favor. I need you to let me know when they're going to have a school board meeting in March. What Tuesday is going to be on.
Okay. And I'm here.
Also, I want you to make sure you call the chief of police at that number for me. If you need more details, you can call me. I just want to make sure everybody's on point. We want a complete and thorough investigation of the Carrington Penny death that happened December 31st or January 1st, whichever one. And also, we want this guy named Wes Magowski removed from the police force. So those are the issues that I want people to talk about when they call in. The telephone number is 269-208-3901. And the man name is Chief McGinnis. So I want every single person calling, people calling. I need at least 1,000 people to call. I know everybody's not going to do it, but the ones that want to get out here and fight and stop all this crap that's going on around us, you have to stand up and fight. So those of you out there, let's do it. Let's do it. And also, I want Roz, I want you, that number, I want you to repeat that number you want people to call so that they can call that number also. Go right ahead.
Okay, 213-219-4525. This is Los Angeles Unified School District, Dawn Watkins, her personal cell number, 213-219-4525. She is the director of integrated management. She has paid off the doctors in her department for bogus medical reports that they go after the teachers to destroy their health and lives, and death happens because of her actions, the school district's actions. And they
pay off. So you know what, Rod? We should be able to stop that if we pull it together. There's more of us than them. And once we get that through our fist heads, we'll be able to beat them down. But we're so busy trying to be part of what they're doing, and then they turn on us. That's how they do it. So listen, Rod, you got about 90 seconds to say whatever you want, and that's it. Say it.
Okay, I'm going to be sending out to you, and I'm going to be emailing a statement with Superintendent Daisy's, the boards, Don Watkins, David Holmquist, who used to be head of workers' comp at LAUSD, and now he's the chief counsel, the lawyer, and all the elected officials. And if everybody could send it out, contact you. My email is RozyWow, R-O-Z-Y, WOW@AOL.com. ROZYWOW@AOL.com. And if you forget who to call, call Los Angeles Unified School District, and you want this stopped before one more teacher dies, before they become totally disabled. This is a school district that cannot even call the paramedics, that leaves students in toxic chemicals for months. This is child abuse. They are abusing the teachers, locked up in teacher jails for months without a reason. We must stop this and help our children to have the education that they deserve. And all of us united can win. More vocal, more visual, equal victorious through the Lord.
All right, all right. That's beautiful, Roz. Listen, it's that time. The music is playing. But remember, I need everybody out there to call. Chief McGinnis here in the city of Benton Harbor, we want to demand a complete and thorough investigation of the Carrington Penny murder, and also Wes Smigowski to be removed from the police department. The number is 269-208-3901. Please, folks, get out there and call. We have just ran out of time. Good night, everyone. See you next week, same time, same station. Let's keep up the great work. Let's fight back. Fight back. Fight back.
Yeah. Cheer black.